Welcome to Pod Summarizer, the way to summarize your favorite podcasts. Today, we have a summary of Call Her Daddy. In this episode, Catherine McBroom discusses the tumultuous journey of her relationship with Austin McBroom, the controversies surrounding their marriage, and the shocking revelations that led to their divorce. What secrets will be unveiled about their life as YouTube's first family vloggers? Remember to follow us on X and Instagram and on our website, podsummarizer.xyz. And now, let's begin.
If you are a fan of the Ace family, then you already know exactly what we're about to get into. But for those of you who may not be as familiar with today's guest, I'm going to catch you up, okay? Catherine and her ex-husband, Austin McBroom, started the Ace Family YouTube channel in 2016. They were essentially the first family vloggers to ever do it, and people were so obsessed with them. To this day, they still have 18 million subscribers, okay? So for years, everyone watched Catherine and Austin's relationship play out online. We watched them get engaged, have kids, move into new homes, and they documented every aspect of their lives on YouTube. Now, throughout their relationship, there was a lot of controversy. There was financial turmoil, and there were tons and tons of cheating allegations. But to the public, they always put up a united front until they suddenly stopped posting and revealed that they were getting a divorce. For the past about 2 years, they have been basically not really addressing anything. And there are so many unanswered questions. How often was Austin actually cheating? Was Catherine aware the entire time? What was going on with their finances? And what is the truth behind the drug allegations? So, Daddy Gang, I am excited to give Catherine the opportunity to speak on all of it today in long form for the first time. Let's get into it.
What is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
Catherine Pies, welcome to Call Her Daddy.
Thank you.
Okay. We've got a lot to talk about, obviously. You and your ex-husband, Austin McBroom, started the Ace family, which quickly became quite literally the biggest family YouTube channel ever to exist. And then suddenly you guys went dark. And I think everyone has a lot of questions, which we're going to get into. But first, I just want to know, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel like I'm in a new place in my life, and I'm just so excited just to like be free with myself and just be authentic. Not that I wasn't authentic before. I just feel like I'm at a new stage in my life. Yeah.
You and Austin's last video together was almost 2 years ago. I know.
I didn't even know that.
Almost 2 years ago.
Okay. That's crazy.
Which is crazy because I feel like for so long people watched you every single day. Like, you were on our screens for so long. So to go for 2 years, it's been a long time. Why are you ready to talk about all of this now?
I think for me, it's like I felt silenced for so long, and it wasn't like someone was silencing me. I was silencing myself. And I think that for all those years of just not being able to just speak freely and just like really sit with myself, it was really hard, Alex. It was really hard. And I think that now I'm just so healed from all of my experiences, not just my relationship, all of the traumas and all the experiences that I faced early on in my life. I've just healed so much through all of them. Truly. Like, actually, truly. And I just feel so alive. I feel like I can really just be myself and it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to be me and sit with myself. And I wrote a book.
Yes, you did.
I wrote a book about, you know, some of the experiences that I had early in my life, into my adulthood. Mm-hmm. And I think through my healing and through writing of this book, I really just like came back to myself.
That's really beautiful because I think so many people always say, like, why now to people? And I actually was interested to know, like, why now? And I can feel your energy. And, like, I think a lot of people who have been your fan for so long have wanted you to get to this point in your life. But I do know a lot of it is a little messy, because I just obviously saw some chapters got released of your memoir. And then you have your ex-husband, Austin, coming forward, and he's already commentating on, this is a lie, this isn't truthful, this is exaggerated. How did you feel when you saw him kind of publicly coming out and trying to put down essentially this book?
Yeah, I feel like that's already an indicator of why I never expressed myself, you know, through all those allegations of cheating and infidelity and all those things. It's like, I was so afraid to speak up. I was so afraid to say, I'm an idiot. Like, I just didn't see it, you know? Or I was so afraid to say, you know, I'm trying to hold the very little peace that we have in our family. I'm trying to keep that together. I'm trying to shelter the very little peace that we have, you know? And for me, it was like, you know, I'm embarrassed. I don't know what's true or not. There's so many things that aren't true. It's really hard to, like, differentiate what is true, what isn't, until I really found out.
Okay. We're going to go all the way back, because I feel like we know you as the Ace family. We know you as Catherine, a part of the Ace family, but I think it's important, and you talk about this in your book, I want to just lightly talk about your life before all of this. Describe, like, what was your experience growing up in your family dynamic?
Yeah. So, my mom was born in Nicaragua. My dad is Panamanian. They met in Panama. They were teenagers when they met. And, you know, they had a lot of hardship. They had a very toxic relationship, just like any young couple that is new to a country, new language, new everything. They didn't have family. They didn't have friends. And so, the first half of my childhood, my dad was a single dad. My mom took herself out of that toxic relationship and moved to Florida. And so, you know, I knew she did that for the best of the family. And it's interesting, because I'm like, I had such an awareness even as a child that I, like, knew, like, she's doing the right thing. You know what I mean? Like, I knew that as a child. And I'm like, I know my mom is doing this for us, you know, for the bigger picture. My parents didn't have much money, you know, really nothing. Yeah. And I had this really weird relationship with money. Like, I remember thinking, like, you know, my mom would say things like, we don't have the money for that, or we can't do that, or, you know, and I remember looking at her and thinking, I'm going to make a lot of money one day so that I can do all the things that I want to do, and I can support you, and I can support my family. And it was like this drive that I had inside of me.
So many adults, you get to that place where you're like, what was lacking in your childhood that then you were craving? Because whether you had friends that had it, or you were told you couldn't have it, then it's almost like that goal in your head, which then we'll get to, because then you eventually got all of that. And sometimes it doesn't mean that that is the thing that brings you happiness. But when you're young, and you have this vision,
totally,
it's like you're going to go for it no matter what.
Yeah.
I'm interested, though, hearing you talk about your parents having a toxic relationship. Like, how did their marriage impact you at a young age of, like, how you viewed love?
Yeah, hugely. Oh, my God, that's such a good question. You're
Thank
so
you.
Good at this.
Thank you. Stop.
Okay, so I feel like when my marriage was going downhill, we didn't have good communication. That's one thing I take full accountability is I had the worst communication. And I'm still working on it today. I think I've gotten a lot better. But when I look at my parents, I thought, I don't want to be another couple that doesn't make it. You know, I want to have that traditional love. You say your I do's and you're in there for, you know, till death do us part. That was, like, kind of the way that I saw it, you know? Also having children, you know, you want your children to grow up with both their parents. And that was my dream. It's like, I want to be able to have that family. And when we had it, you know what I mean? And yeah. And I thought, oh my gosh. Like, I remember one morning, I remember thinking, like, did I make it? Like, looking around, I remember, did I make it? And I was like, well, why do I feel so empty?
Call Her Daddy is brought to you by Tinder. Have you ever seen someone on Tinder that really stands out to you? Like, oh my gosh, this person is such a catch. Now with Tinder's first impressions, you can send a message to help stand out before you match.
Having delved into the intricate dynamics of Catherine's past and her relationship with Austin, the conversation now shifts to their initial meeting and the sparks that ignited their journey together, revealing how it all began.
Try debating their hottest take, bonding over their weirdly specific obsessions, or hit them with a joke that they absolutely have to respond to. Try Tinder's first impressions feature and explore all of the possibilities for yourself. Tinder, it starts with a swipe. Download Tinder today. Let's talk about Austin. Can you tell me how you guys met? Like, how did that all go down?
Yeah. I moved to Los Angeles. I had this fuel to move to Los Angeles. I was super excited and I bought a one-way ticket. My friend invited me to an all-white attire party. And I walked in and I saw Austin from across the room. Austin McBroom from across the room. And I looked at him and I thought, I don't know why, but I feel like I know him. So interesting. And she introduced us and we shook hands and that was it. And then I took an Uber home and I didn't talk to him. So about a month later, he had messaged me on, I think like Twitter or something. He was like, hey, I'd like to send you something. And I didn't respond. So a month went by. And then he messaged me again and he was like, hey, I'd like to take you to dinner. And I almost didn't go. I was like, I don't know why, but something's telling me to go. But I'm just like, I don't know. And so I'll never forget that morning. He was like, so, oh, he goes, do you like sushi? And I said, no. He's like, okay, well, me neither, but I got us a reservation at Nobu Malibu. And I said, okay, that's nice. Like in my head, I'd never been there before, so I'll go. So we go and we're sitting across from each other. You know, we're by the ocean and we're talking. He was asking me a lot of questions about me. I thought that was really nice. You know, and he's a young college student. It was like, he was going into senior year of college, mm-hmm. playing D1 basketball. And he's talking and all of a sudden, like, I just don't hear anything. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is a person that I'm going to have children with. And that is a person that I'm going to marry. And I knew it in that moment. Like, nothing could tell me otherwise.
What was it about him?
It was just a feeling. Mm-hmm. It was just this feeling. It's like this inner knowing. And I thought, I just know it's him.
Okay. You write about in the book that the first time you have your first kiss is the same day that you both also say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Were you nervous at how fast it was moving?
No.
No. Why?
Because it was just meant to be. Mm-hmm. I saw this thing recently. I don't know who said this. I'll find out and let everyone know. But she said, when you meet the one or when you meet someone that you're meant to be with, you skip the dating phase. So it's like we just went from like meeting each other to being like we're married kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Who said I love you first?
He said it first.
Did you say it back immediately?
Immediately.
And so it didn't freak you out at all. You didn't feel like it was like love bomb-y at all. You were just like, this is it.
This is it.
If you had to pinpoint it back then, what do you think was different about Austin compared to all the other guys that you had dated?
Well, one, he doesn't care what anybody thinks. And I think I find that so attractive. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's like my inner self is like, I don't give a shit what anyone thinks. But he was like that person for us in our dynamic, you know, taught me a lot. I also think, you know, he's very, he's just very motivated. He's a very motivated person. And I was just so attracted to the fact that he was so free with himself. Mm-hmm. And I never met anyone like that. Actually, the only person that I know close to him is my brother. And I always said, oh my God, you and my brother need to meet because you guys are so much alike.
How soon into your relationship did you get pregnant?
Like 2 months. It was so quick.
Oh, wow.
It was
and
so quick.
What was your reaction? What was Austin's reaction?
So it's interesting because the day before we found out, we were at a restaurant and his friend just had a baby. So he was showing me the newborn photos. And I was looking down. I was like, oh my gosh, like, would you want to start a family one day? He's like, yeah, I would love to have kids one day. He's like, you know, maybe in the future, you know, and he goes like, we'll start a family one day. And I was like, I know, like I feel it, you know, I feel family for us. I just knew it. But I didn't know I was pregnant already.
How did you tell him?
He was right there in the room. He was in the room. He was sitting on his belly, you know, scrolling on his phone. And I thought, yeah, I feel nauseous. You know, I feel kind of sick. And he thought, oh, maybe we should take a pregnancy test. And I'm thinking like, nothing's going to happen. And I took the test and immediately I stood up. I didn't even think about it. I just stood up. Hey, and I threw the stick at him by like close to him on the bed. And he's looking at it. He's like, I'm like, yeah, I think we're pregnant. And the lines were very faint, so we couldn't tell for sure. But just his reaction.
Yeah.
And just the way I slept so good that night. I didn't even think about it. I'm thinking we're good no matter what.
You started this YouTube channel, obviously, shortly after that she was born. How did you guys decide to do this?
So when he was in college for that last year, mm-hmm. I decided to move in with him. I was pregnant for that whole year. And he had a roommate, like someone that was kind of there just to help with that last year of college because he was playing, you know, D1 basketball and he was still going to school. And then, you know, I was pregnant. And so he was kind of just there to like keep tabs and make sure that everything was good. And he was the one that said, hey, guys, like, you guys should really start a YouTube channel. And he's like, you know, your videos are going viral on Facebook and people are making money off of them. And I'm thinking like, what? Because we would make like cute little homemade videos, you know, of him talking to my belly or just us being funny and goofy or whatever. And he's like, people are taking your videos and monetizing your videos. Why don't you guys make your own videos? And I thought, can we do that? You can make money off your videos? I'm like, what? Like, that's so crazy. And at the time, you know, his dreams were to play in the NBA. And that summer, you know, he got with the wrong agent and he did a couple tryouts, you know, one with the Lakers, one with the Knicks. And just it didn't work out. And we thought, what are we going to do? Like, either you go play overseas in Greece or something. We move the bait. We go the whole as a family. But nothing is, you know, set in stone. Like, we don't know what that looks like. And so then that's when we were like, let's start YouTube.
Back in the beginning, once Elle was born, whose decision was it to make her a part of the content?
It just came naturally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I didn't film my birth with Elle. It was like, you know, we were just private, you know, just, I mean, we filmed on our phone, you know, we weren't making a vlog. And I think like, it just made sense because we are so hands-on with our child and I was not going to get a nanny. I'm like, I'm going to raise my daughter, you know, I'm finally have my daughter here, you know? And I thought, well, we can make content with our daughter, you know, we can just naturally, organically share our journey.
Did you have any hesitations in the beginning or later on about putting your kids on camera?
Never. And you know why, Alex?
Why?
Because back in the day, it was really new, like YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's been a thing for a while, but we were really like that, like, I hate to say the word, but I feel like we kind of pioneered that like family vlogging experience. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, we were the first to do it at that magnitude in that way. And it was like, it was like, when this monster of like social media was starting, you know, sometimes I think back and I'm like, oh my God, am I part of that, this craziness that's going on now in the world, you know?
Because obviously, I'm sure you've seen it, but like there are people that accuse you and Austin of exploiting your kids. Like, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I just think that like when we first started, it was so pure. It was like pure intentions. It was like, obviously we want to make a living, you know, like anyone wants to make a living, you got to work. But it was more like, we're just being present with our family, our daughter. And it's interesting because we would make these elaborate videos and we found out very early on that people enjoyed our family vlogs, our simple family vlogs sitting on the floor. Those would get more views than our like big elaborated videos we would spend money on and doing. So it was just like, well, people just want to see us. They just relate to us. Maybe they see themselves in us.
So much of your success is through your children. Like, mm-hmm. Did you guys have a big conversation about setting them up with money and like putting money away for them? Or was it more just like, it's all the families?
Yeah. No, they have their separate bank accounts. I actually very early on in my career, I think 2017 when Elle was about a year old, we got her a bank account, you know? I think that those were the conversations and things we were having.
Yeah.
But in terms of like exploitation and stuff, like that never crossed our mind. Yeah. That was I just feel like we were just the beginning of something new.
How do you feel about it now?
You know, we're in the age of technology and, you know, it's like there's no right or wrong, I don't think. Like, I think that like if people choose to keep their private, certain private things away from social media, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I think that if some people choose to do it the opposite way, I think that that's beautiful too. I think that everything's meant to be the way that it's meant to be.
Once you guys kind of started really becoming yourselves and people knew the Ace family, like on a good month, can I ask, like, how much were you guys making?
So there was a period we were making seven figures a month. To me, it was like I was numb to it. Truly, like, it didn't make any sense. I was going through this phase in my life where I just felt so disattached.
Mm-hmm.
And now I look back and think, oh my God, I would have done so much with that. I would have invested. I would have bought my mom a house, my dad a house. I would have done this and that. And it's like, we just didn't have the right mentors. We didn't have the right tools. You know, we had a lot of yes men around us and we just made really bad business decisions along the way.
Once you guys started filming everything all the time, when did it start to feel like you weren't just filming parts of your life, but you were living to film and get content? Like, when do you think that switch happens? Because I feel like for a lot of creators, it happens.
Oh my gosh, yeah. There was moments where I'm like, because, you know, like big reveals and stuff.
After delving into the whirlwind of emotions surrounding their early relationship and the challenges they faced, the conversation now shifts to the revelations in the memoir, where hidden truths and past rumors begin to unravel.
Because I think when he saw the beginning, the first chapter of my book, he thought maybe that I wrote a lot more about him, but I kind of didn't, in a sense. Like, to be honest with you, it's a memoir about my life. But I will say that when you write a book, you always put the hardest part of your journey in the beginning of the book, right? To catch the reader, to really draw them in. That's just something that as writers, is common.
Mm-hmm.
And so he really got it backwards.
I want to ask you, there were some like viral cheating rumors that I want to just like get your opinion on.
Mm-hmm.
Tana Mojo recently revealed that she covered for Austin after you found lipstick in Austin's car. What really happened there?
So she covered for him, which I believe that it's probably true. It definitely happened because I remember we had a Lamborghini at the time. I never drove that car.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in one day as a passenger and I noticed there was a lip liner or lip gloss, something like that. And it wasn't mine. And I thought, I'm like, whose is this? He's like, so-and-so got in my car the other day and he, you know, his girlfriend was on the lap and I drove them down the street to get into their car. And I'm like, I don't believe you. Like, at this point now, I don't believe you.
Right.
He's like, I'm going to call him right now. And so I guess she was there. And I think her publicly talking about that is hurtful. Why didn't you call me? Message me. Hey, girl, I was there on that phone call. I just want to let you know, that wasn't true.
It was also rumored that Austin would hire nannies so he could sleep with them when you weren't around. Do you know if this is true?
No, we never had a nanny.
Never had a nanny.
Grandma.
Okay. Did you ever get confirmation if the infamous yacht orgy happened?
Yes, I actually did. Yeah.
Wow. And that was when he butt dialed you that weekend?
That was that weekend. Yeah.
How did you get confirmation?
Through a friend who's married to a guy that was physically there.
Wow.
Yeah. Years later, by the way.
Yeah.
When it didn't matter anymore. It just like, I was like, oh, really? Oh, okay. That's a blast in me.
Right. You're like, shit.
Okay. I guess it didn't happen.
Did Austin really bring his mistress to a charity event you guys threw together at the Staples Center?
Yeah. So there was this girl, the girl that I was talking about earlier, the one with the long text. So that was her.
Since that information came to light, Austin has completely denied it, said he would have never brought a girl there. That never happened. Like, what do you say to that?
To me, it's like, why lie about that? But now I know, like, you can lie about a lot of things that aren't true. So I'm like, okay, well, because the thing is that I knew that writing this book, there would be some kind of like retaliation or some things that are said. Yeah. I knew that, you know, something would come from this, obviously, because, you know, I wrote a book. I didn't know what magnitude that I wasn't aware of, but it's interesting because I saw it and I thought, this is not me, you know, like this is, I'm past that. Mm-hmm. Like, I truly feel like it was a test. Truly. It's like, you, Austin, you could have handled that differently. You know, you could have said, I saw, she has a book out, you know, and one of the things he said is, I didn't tell him about the book. Mm-hmm. The thing is when you go through a divorce, you don't really tell someone what you're doing. You know what I mean? And I had been promoting the book for 2 years. I'd been talking about it. So he had seen it. I think if I would have mentioned the book to him privately, he may have wanted to try to stop me from doing it. So it was just something I was doing me, you know? I think he could have handled it differently. He could have said, you know, I just saw that Catherine, you know, my ex-wife, she has a book out. And he could have said something along the lines of, you know, although I don't totally agree with what she said, you know, I guess there's always different sides of the story and I wish her well.
And I'm not proud of the things I did, but we've both moved on and whatever.
Yeah.
I just feel like the Staple Center moment for him to try to say that wasn't true. It's like, again, Austin trying to reclaim this narrative because specifically that, I think because there's footage of you and your family and it was such a core of who you guys were
totally
to the world, it makes him just look like an absolute fucking monster to like, you, if you're gonna cheat, can't you just go do it in private? Like, you have to put Catherine and your children through this. And so I think it must be him trying to reclaim the narrative a little bit and like litigate like, well, no, I didn't bring her here, but I brought her. It doesn't fucking matter.
Well, the crazy thing is it did happen. And that's where I found out all the lies. So like that moment was a significant moment in my life. So of course I'm going to talk about it if that was life-changing for me, because I was pregnant when all of these things were going on, and I got confirmation from one of his family members saying, I told him not to bring that girl and da 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 da. And I'm thinking like, what, you knew too? Like, I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, like I'm just being blindsided over here. Like I had no idea, like truly, like, yeah, I've been seeing the rumors and you know, the narratives, but oh my gosh, like, why can't you tell me? Like, why don't you talk to me? Like,
was this before or after the text incident that you...
That was around the same time.
Okay. So that's when it all started to like come out. And then to go to this event and have that woman there. And now he's trying to say no. Mm-hmm. Okay. Austin recently tried to justify all of his cheating by saying you guys weren't having sex. Mm-hmm. What was your sex life like at the time?
Sex intimacy is very, very sacred to me. Mm-hmm. Like more today than it has ever been. Mm-hmm. When I found out that there was cheating, I checked out. Mm-hmm. And I said, my body is a temple and I refuse to allow anybody to come near my temple. Mm-hmm. If he cannot be honest and truthful and loyal. And it was like, I'm checked out. And it is true. And I wrote it in the book. I put the same exact, put 4 years. It was 4 years. It was actually more like 5 years, if you think about it, because...
5 years of what?
Of not being intimate with him.
Okay.
Because just mm-hmm. to be completely transparent and honest, because I do feel like a lot of women and men can relate to this. Yeah. But I was going through a lot of postpartum, you know, your body changes, you know, you're breastfeeding and you're taking care of multiple children. And so we had my daughter, and then we had, you know, I was pregnant that whole year, and I was the cheating allegations, all the things. And I thought, you know, I don't know. And then I got pregnant with my son, and I'm thinking, like, maybe we can make this work. You know, maybe this is not what it all seems to be. And, you know, we had just moved into our new house, and we're like, you know, maybe we can have the family that we're always meant to have, you know, the family that we're portrayed to the world, you know, maybe we can really be that. Mm-hmm. And I got pregnant, and then that was and then I found out he was cheating on me, and that was it. That was a never, never, ever, ever, like.
Never again.
Never again.
Mm-hmm. And did he pursue you at all? Like, did he try?
No. And that's how I knew that there was cheating going on.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, now I know how that's not normal. Mm-hmm. At the time, I thought, you know, we're going through a lot, you know, there's a lot of bad things happening around us, you know, we have children, you know, and we're overworked and we're tired and we're stressed and we are anxious and all these things. And now I think back, I'm like, even when I would like, we would kiss, or there was a disconnection. And I thought, this isn't my husband. Like,
prior to all the cheating allegations, like, did you have like a healthy intimacy life with him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that that's what part of, you know, our love and our bond. It's like we are so deeply connected, mm-hmm. like in all ways. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm a huge part of this problem, though. It's like I take it full accountability on being in a relationship with someone and not also pursuing intimacy, because although I was disgusted and I didn't want like to be intimate, I didn't have these very serious conversations like, hey, maybe we should go see a therapist. Like, maybe we should do couples therapy. Maybe like this is a normal going like another year, mm-hmm. without being physically intimate. It is such an important part of a marriage and a relationship.
Was it the cheating?
Having navigated the intricate dynamics of personal revelations and past relationships, the conversation now shifts to a pivotal moment in their journey, highlighting a significant event that tested their bond and resilience.
He's like, come into the room. He's like, feel my forehead. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I have 103 fever. It just came a couple hours ago. I don't know. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do? I was like, you can't fight. He's like, no, I have to. Like, I can't not. And mind you, we just had this conversation about yesterday, like this gut feeling, like something doesn't feel right. And like, I feel like what happened that night in the fight was very, it was like a mirror of what's going on in our internal life.
Can you explain just if people didn't see the fight?
Yeah, so basically, he got really sick. Mm-hmm. I went out into the floor, you know, we're all watching them on the ring, and the first time he got knocked down, I thought, oh my God, this is the first time I've ever seen my husband crumble. And my heart stopped. And I wanted to scream and cry and yell and just, I hated that moment. And then there was a voice, and then he got knocked down. It was a second one, and then a third, and then a fourth, and then a fifth. And he just kept standing up. And I kept thinking, oh my gosh, this is who he is. He always stands up when he falls. And there, I heard this voice, and it was like, it's okay. He's having an ego death. He has to go through this, hold space for him. Everything's gonna be okay. And we left the ring, we got in the ambulance. He was completely disoriented. He just kept saying the words, I need water. And I was like yelling at the paramedics, please get him water. He's thirsty, he needs water. And they're like, no, it's against protocol. We can't give him water. We have to wait to get him into the hospital and check in and this and that. And so that happened. And then the next day he was feeling better. And I grabbed his hand and I posted a picture of us holding hands. And I was so ready to let go the day before. And I was like telling the world, I'm still here for him. And it was like this moment of like, yes, we are not romantically together in that way, but I still respect him as the father of my children. Mm. And no matter what, I will always stand by his side. And it was like that kind of energy. So then it was almost like I was okay being in the relationship as a family, as like, I'm here, we're a team. Mm-hmm. But it was like, we were not a team. Mm-hmm. You were still lying to me.
When did you tell him you wanted a divorce?
So we had talked about it a couple times. I never said the words, I want a divorce. Mm-hmm. I never said that those words ever out loud. We had the last conversation we'd had on separating, we actually talked about him, you know, getting another home, and I was getting another home because we were actually planning on leaving the rental we were at. Mm-hmm. And you know when you have like really deep conversations about making plans and then they just don't fall through? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that kind of thing. And then the stress of like life and all the things that it brings, you know? So that wasn't like, we weren't trying to get that done quickly, you know? Because usually when it comes to an end, you want to get it done,
yeah,
right? But we hadn't reached that moment of like, it's an urgency, we need to do it right now. When I had that realization that it has to happen right now, I have to stop waiting for the right time, because there's never going to be a right time. The moment is now. Mm-hmm. And I had that realization when it was on my 33rd birthday. So this is really interesting. My whole life, like ever since I was a kid, I always said 33 is going to be the biggest year of my life. And I would say that just like jokingly in my mind. And I thought 33 is going to be the biggest year of my life. And then I turned 33. And I was talking to my dad and I was like, hey, I really want to go to this retreat in Brazil. And he was like, I want to go with you. And I was like, perfect. Like me, you and Ryan will go to this retreat, you know. And I booked my flight on my birthday. Okay. And in that moment, you know, Austin and I, it was done. We didn't put the wheels in motion to officially divorce and separate. Mm-hmm. But it was there. And
but
it was
you clear. Knew you were separated.
We were separated,
okay,
for sure, because it was so obvious. It
yeah.
was like, it was in the air. It was like, we hardly saw each other. We stopped filming.
So there was no like big moment that you were both like, we're done. Let's go our separate ways.
Well, there was, because I went on the retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I came back, I had this massive, expansive experience. And I got back. I landed back in LA. He picked me up. I got in the car and he looked over, he said, oh, how was it? And I was like, good. And in my head, I'm thinking like he doesn't understand he doesn't understand. And I thought, that's okay. We're different places vibrationally now. And I was like, if I'm going to say it, I'm going to say it right now. I got in the car, closed the door. How was it? We're driving out, literally driving out of the airport. And I said, Austin, I need to talk to you. He's like, hey, yeah, what's up? I was like, it's not a secret that our relationship is done and we're both unhappy. You know, I've been unhappy for a long time. I know you've been unhappy for a long time. And I want a divorce. And he's driving, okay. It's like, okay. I was like, oh my gosh. All right. Well, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. I was like, I'm on your team and I love you and I want to do this right. And, you know, it doesn't have to get ugly. I pray. I don't want it to get ugly. And I said, and I said these words, I said, let's discuss an exit plan together as a team. Like, let's do it together. He goes, yeah, we could talk about it, you know? And I was like, he goes, it's funny because, my realtor the other day sent me a house, that's for rent down the street from where we're living now. And I thought, oh, okay, cool. He's like, yeah, it's interesting how life works. And I was like, yeah. I was like, have you seen the house? He's like, oh, I'm going to see it next week. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then it was just kind of like, okay, like we're going to do this.
Why did you guys never make a video to kind of like talk about your separation? Cause that was kind of like your guys' thing.
Well, I didn't want to make a video because if he wasn't telling me the truth without the cameras rolling, he's for sure not going to tell the truth with the cameras rolling. So I thought, well, I'm not going to do a video with you side by side if you can't say I cheated on my wife and, you know, it led us to this path. We both have made mistakes. I would share my mistakes, you know, like I didn't have good communication. You know, I wasn't there for him maybe when he needed me emotionally, you know, and all of these things. And I thought, he can't be honest, so I'm not doing the video.
And then he came out and said that you didn't want him to make his own video explaining the breakup from his point of view. And I guess that kind of answers it, because you're like, well, you're not going to tell the fucking truth.
He didn't tell the truth. He said, well, there's things that I regret, but it's like, that could be anything.
Right.
And then not to mention, so this is the thing about that. And I'm just going to be completely bluntly honest, yeah, because at this point, just my throat chakra's open and I'm just going to be me.
Let's go.
When we discussed the divorce, I said I'd really like to do a joint statement. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a lot of people sometimes they do statements. It's just easier, you know. And he's like, oh no, I want to make a video. And I said, well, I don't want to be in your video, so I'm not gonna do that. I'm gonna make a statement. He goes, oh well, give me a chance to make a video and I'll show it to you, and then you could tell me if you like it. Mm-hmm. And if you like it, then I'll post it. And I thought, I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm actually curious to see what's in that video. Right? I was really curious. So I'm like, make the video. So it took a month for him to actually make it.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay,
here we go.
I get to see it. Oh my gosh. Like, I'm so curious what he said. And I was in the room, in the office room, and I was watching it, and just blunt, like honest to God, was watching the video. And I thought, this is like social suicide. Like, I genuinely feel like this is going to make him look so bad. And I love Austin no matter what. And I care about him truly. So I'm thinking, if he couldn't at least say the truth, because people love truth.
Yeah.
People love when people are honest and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't doing that. It was like he was going around the truth. And I looked at him, I said, I don't like the video. I was like, if you post that, go ahead. But if you post that, I'm just going to be honest. Because at that point, it's like, I want to help you too. I want you to move on in your life too. I don't want you to have this energy around you.
Right, but people are going to call you out and be like, you're lying. Like, this is a big fat lie. Like, we know you're skirting around the actual thing.
Yeah. So then I said, I don't like it. So he recorded me saying that.
Why do you think he recorded you?
I mean, I'm just finding this out, by the way.
Because you didn't know he was filming.
No, I think it was because he thought, well, this is what I think. Mm-hmm. I think he was never planning on posting the video. I think he made it. So, and again, I don't know, right? Yeah. This is just my speculation.
Yeah.
I think he made it knowing he wasn't going to post it, but made it so that, because he knew I wouldn't like it. Because he knows me. He knows me. He's been living with me.
That's it for today's summary. To stay up to date with more summaries and news, follow us on X and Instagram and visit our website podsummarizer.xyz. If you have any comments, questions, suggestions, or complaints about the content displayed, please do not hesitate to write to us at info@podsummarizer.xyz. Thank you for listening.